have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning very quickly to the book of Romans chapter 8. Our theme this year, for those of you that wasn't here the 29th when we had our service that night, or last Sunday, our theme has changed. Our theme this year is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify the Father which is in heaven. When people see God in us, it makes them want to have God. And I want to talk to you, now I don't know how long I'm going to deal with this, but this is something God's put on my heart, that one of the greatest problems in the church world is that we have stinking thinking. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand and say, hey, it's all about the mind. Glory. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, but I'm going to make this statement. You'll hear it several times over the next few weeks, months, or whatever. But the reality is, the most powerful thing in the world of Christ is a changed mind. When God is able to help us get our mind where it ought to be, then we become what God wants us to be. Can you say amen? See, church, you can dress any way you want to. It doesn't make you a Christian. You can look like it, but it doesn't make you that. Listen, I can go around all along telling everybody I'm a buffalo, but I'm not a buffalo. I'm built like one, but I'm not a buffalo. But the reality is, if I begin to get the mindset, then that outside will take care of itself. Over the years, we specified what we didn't do. But we spent a lot of time not discipling our people into the reasons why we don't do it. Let's face it, y'all heard me say this. I got saved. I didn't know nothing about Church of God. I was raised by a backslid Methodist preacher. I'd never been to Church of God in my life till the night I got saved. And I was afraid of the Church of God. Folks were crazy. And y'all kind of conservative at Buell F, put up stoplights at times. They get with it. They're very emotional. And they get down. And I didn't want to go to a church where folks would run out the door shouting. I thought something's wrong. And I went there totally because I actually thought I was going to hunting club, and I got saved. And after I prayed through, I realized I'm in the Church of God. Then they started wanting me to get filled with the Holy Ghost, get sanctified. I didn't know what none of that stuff was. I asked one boy, I said, what is it? He said, I don't know, but you need it. Good Lord. I hope he's learned now, because he now pastors Muscle Shoals Church of God. But back in those days, we were all like the blind leading the blind. We just stayed out of the ditch long enough to get going. Glory. But the reality is, I went to one of the young men one day. I said, what do we believe? He said, well, we don't go over here, and we don't go over there, and we don't do this, we don't do that, and we don't. And I said, Lord, who have I got tied up with? I mean, I got to look at that thing. If I don't do all this stuff, I ain't going to do nothing. So I go and ask the pastor, Papa Duck. I said, Papa Duck, what do we believe? He said, you got a minute? And I said, yeah. He fixed me a glass of tea, and we sat down in the swing on the front porch. He said, well, first of all, we don't go over here. We don't go over there. We don't do this. We don't do this. And he slapped me on the leg, and he said, we don't look like you. That was rather obvious. And, you know, I got to thinking the Church of God just didn't. You know, that's what's really wrong with most folks in the Church of God. You don't. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You stall in and out of problems because you're not doing the things God gave you to make you an overcomer. Because the true matter is some of you have been in church 20 years and you've never transformed your mind. You still think like you did before you got saved. You still got that mind of the world, and as long as it's there, you're not ever going to be able to get loose in God. But when you do what is your reasonable service, God never said you had to do something you couldn't do, but he said be not conformed but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How am I going? Why am I going to do that? Because it is my reasonable service. It's to let God get into my life and help me change my mind so that I don't get up in the morning thinking like a human. I get up in the morning and I say, God, I want to walk after the Spirit. I want to think like Christ. I want to move in his presence. I want his will in my life. And when we do that, God will help us to be an overcomer. Notice this. We are responsible not only for our action, but our thoughts. Somebody said, now, preacher, you're crazy. God judged people on their thoughts in the past. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts. Listen to what it tells us, the 21st verse, 8th chapter. Thou hast neither part nor lot in the matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Glory. So we talk about Simon was being judged on his thoughts, not on what he done, but on what they perceived he believed in his heart. You know the antediluvian world? Any of y'all remember the world before the flood? Amen. I'm sorry, some of y'all looked up. I used one of them words. I try not to use them. Every once in a while I'll think that it comes out, but the world before Noah. Any of y'all ever read about that world? Genesis chapter 6. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thought of his heart, was on evil continually. God judged the entire world before the flood on what they were thinking as much as on what they were doing. But what they were thinking was producing action. And let me tell you something, church, nobody has ever done anything that they didn't think about it first. Smile. Y'all gonna get quiet on me. He going to preach all morning. That's just a mindset. According to my watch, I got 20 minutes and some more. I love this watch. Amen. Thank God for the fellow that gave it to me. Look, Jesus specifically condemned the sin of thought. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, church, you think about it. If you're walking around thinking about having sex with somebody, you've committed adultery with them. You think about killing somebody, you've murdered them. Then you come to church wanting God to bless you, and you murdered somebody and committed adultery, and you're trying to figure out why God won't bless you. He said, well, I didn't do that. According to his book, you did it because you did it in your heart. Why is it quiet? I got to run down and amen myself or something. I mean, I know that Dr. Mathis is here, but y'all can amen me once in a while. I'm preaching good. Glory. Amen. The reality is that's where we are. I remember hearing a message one time years ago. I was at Brownsville. And the young man that preached that revival that went, 5 years, had 250-something thousand people saved. I remember being there that night, and he preached about the very things that stopped revival. And he talked about what I was just talking about. People that sat in church constantly in their mind committing murder, committing adultery, and then wondering why God won't bless them. Can I tell you, church, you need to understand something. If you don't put anything in your brain but garbage, all you're ever going to get out of it is garbage. Amen. We got people in this church that absolutely have a fear in their heart because all they watch is goofy movies on zombies and vampires, and they're afraid they're going to get bit or killed by something that's already dead. Glory. Hello? I shared with Dr. Mathis something. I won't tell you the final bit of it, but it was a Bob Hope movie from back in the late 50s, early 60s, and the guy was, he asked, what's a zombie? He said, it's somebody that's dead, and a voodoo witch doctor brings them to life, and they walk around with no sight, no idea where they're going, no what they're doing. He said, oh, Democrats. Now, that was on YouTube. I'm not taking a stance one way or the other. I just quoted what the man said, so I'm not responsible if I upset you. But the reality is we've got people now that you know, one of the leading shows is The Walking Dead. How did that get to be such a leading show if people ain't watching it? And you ever notice that when your kids come up watching that, watching zombie movies and vampire movies, they end up having to get counseling because they can't sleep at night? Because they're afraid something's under the bed? Come on, church. Lord, if you lived in India, that might be a reality. Something could be under your bed because, you know, snakes and stuff get in the house. Lord. But notice this, temptation versus sin of thought. Temptation, by definition, is a desire or craving for something, especially something considered wrong. You ever notice if something's wrong, you kind of want to do it for the excitement's sake of doing something wrong? Look at all y'all looking at me. Well, I've never done that. Y'all crazy. Some of the stuff we did when we was kids, we did it for the thrill. It didn't have a thing to do with us wanting to do it. We did it because we're getting a kick out of it because you wasn't supposed to do it. You wanted me to do it, tell me I couldn't do it. Oh. Then I'd do it just so I could see what I was missing. The reality is that's where temptation comes in. It's the incitement of desire or craving in somebody, sometimes brought on by someone else who entices you to operate in that desire. Sin thought is something else. A sin thought is something I can control. Notice this. We are accountable for thoughts, and thoughts are so important because action is birthed out of thought. You ever thought about this? Thoughts are seeds. Hello? You know, I was raised on a farm, and the one thing I learned was if I plant crabapple seeds, I'm not getting Golden Delicious off the tree. Some of y'all going, why not? They look a little bit alike, but they definitely don't taste alike. If you've never had a crabapple, you just don't know what's all about. That's one thing that will make your eyes roll up quick. Glory. Golden Delicious, they're good apples. I love to eat them. But you can't plant crabapple seed and get Golden and Delicious. But we got folks in the church that think they can plant all these seeds of thought, of junk in their brain, and then run to church on Sunday morning and be accepted as a favorable sacrifice unto God. Amen. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Notice this. Jesus condemned hatred, not only murder, because the thought sin led to the action sin. Notice in Matthew 5:21, ye have heard that it was said of them in old time that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. You know what he said? He said, if you get mad enough, you're going to do something stupid. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you allow yourself to get mad, you're taking a chance of doing something you don't want to do. Paul was connected between Eve's deception in the mind and our minds leading us away from Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In the Amplified Version, it just simply says it's going to take us away from our devotion to Christ. Hello? So, preacher, what are you talking about? We're going to get to that place where we allow the things of this world to take us away from the very devotion we need to make it in this world. Where does iniquity come from? Amplified Version of Psalm 73:7 said this. It said, the eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish, and the imagination of their mind overflows with folly. Hello? What's he saying? He said, well, they're blessed, but now that they're blessed, they've forgotten everything they really need to know to make them who they are. And their mind's always on folly. You ever been around somebody that no matter what goes on, they're trying to figure out a way to have a big time? I mean, ain't that where the world's at? That's why we got beer commercials, put a little weekend in your week. Because we can't stand to make it to the weekend to get plastered anymore. Smile. We're out of control. Everything they sell us is to get us pleasure and to help us do good. It's not about getting right and staying right. And because of that, our life lives off of one great big shock after the other. We live for that surge of thrust, of excitement, when the truth of the matter is, if we sell out to God, we can get up every morning with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that passes all understanding, and a faith that lets us know no matter what happens, I've got a God that is with me in everything. Proverbs said it this way, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou the dainty meats, for he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, that, but his heart is not with thee. For the morsel which thou hast eaten, shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. You know what he said? Stuff's just going to last for a while. Come on, church. Some of y'all remember what it was like when you was a kid. I was talking to some guys one day, and they looked up and said, boy, you had your fun. Really? I was just so joyous to get up in the morning shaking till I got some alcohol in me so I'd quit shaking. I really loved having to get cocaine and do all I had to do to get the drugs to keep from going crazy. Oh, that was just the greatest thing ever happened to my life. I enjoyed destroying everything around me. No, I did not. But I got into a prison. I didn't know how to get out till I stumbled in a church one night. And a mind change took place in me when God began to move in my life and began to give me new thoughts and a new idea that there was a better way than what I had going in my life. And the first time in my life, I turned my life over to him. And I no longer got up trying to figure out how to get a drink or get a fix. I got up thinking about there's a God in heaven that loves me. And if I pray, my God can give me victory. My God can set me upright. My God can put power in my life. Could you say amen? Somebody asked me one time, said, do you think if you backslid, you go back where you were? I said, probably. I didn't get there because I was a perfect person. I got there because I needed something I didn't have, but I found it in Christ. And let me tell you something. If you're where you are today, it's not because you want to be where you're at. It's not because you can't do something about it. It's because you just simply have not put your mind in the right direction. Because Christ is the answer. God can't turn your life around. He can give you a whole new lease on life to make you look at everything totally different. When the mind becomes transformed. Listen to this. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I have to take them nerve pills. James chapter 1. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, changes, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Why? Because your mind's on everything else but God. You end up with your life falling apart. But he said, think on these things. What things? Those things that are pure. Those things that are honest. Those things that are of good report. If there be any virtue in them, keep your mind on them. And what's going to happen? He will keep your heart in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. When I quit looking at the things of this world and begin to focus on a God of peace and joy and love, my life began to turn around, and every day became a jubilee. Every meal became a banquet. Why? Because I know that I know that I know no matter what happens today or tomorrow, my God is still on the throne and my God is still in charge. Quite simply, who controls the mind controls the person. Whose thought dictates what we do. The Bible said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the God, neither indeed can it be. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen to this. Watch your thoughts, because your thoughts will become words. Watch your words, because they become action. Watch your actions, because they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. Watch your character, because that forms your destiny. Simple thought becomes a word, becomes an action, becomes a habit, becomes a character, if all, becomes your destiny. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We have to fight the battle of our mind every day in which we live. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. I know there's a lot of people in this world don't believe there's a real devil. Part two of this sermon will be tonight or next week or whenever. Right here in Birmingham, Alabama, been several years ago, a young man went by the office, Metro Church of God, wanted to see Dr. Culpepper. Sat down and talked with him a while about his life. Dr. Culpepper wanted to pray with him, and the young man said, you know, I got a lot of things I got to clean up before I can get straight. See, that's where people don't understand. God never asked anybody to change one iota of their life. When I was a drug addict and alcoholic, he didn't tell me I had to clean up before he could save me. He loved me and saved me just like I was. Everything in my life changed once he come in and began to give me a new thought pattern. The young man left, and on his way home, he's walking down the side of the road, and a piece of paper flies up off the side of the road, and he grabbed it. And you know what was written on that paper? You're not worth anything. Kill yourself. Now, how did that get on the side of that road and hand in that young man's hand? There's a devil out there who has a desire to take everybody he can to an eternity without God, and he understands that what he puts in our mind and what we believe to be real in our mind. The one thing I learned in counseling, perception is reality. Until you change a person's perspective, you never change the reality they live in. You've heard me tell the story of the guy on the street that Brother D'Onofrio took me to meet. At one time, he was a multimillionaire, head of one of the largest engineering firms in the world, and he's living in a cardboard box under a stoop on the side of a street in New York. He had in his bag a $35,000 check from the guy I'm with, who's a multimillionaire. I knew the check was good, but he wouldn't cash it because his exact words were, if I try to cash it and it's no good, I have no hope. We got back to the car. Brother D'Onofrio, 6'8", 360, 70 pounds of pure muscle. He ain't no baby fat on this dude. He's bad. He starts shaking the car because he's crying so hard. And he looked at me and he said, you just saw the church. That's why I brought you. The church has the mentality that they can't try God because he might not work. And if he doesn't work, they have no hope. The church, God standing with open arms, and he said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And all he's asking is an opportunity, a chance to do something in our lives. But for that to happen, we've got to let our mind go to the place we believe there is a God who can change us. And if we have that mentality, we started winning the battle of a changed mind. And once the mind becomes changed, we begin to believe that the Word of God is true, that it is able, that it can make a difference in our life. And we get up in the morning with hope that today is a new day. And I know my God because his mercies are new every morning. And I don't have to worry about the fires of hell because I've been washed in the blood of Calvary, and he's not going to turn me loose. As long as I hang on, he'll hang on. And I got an eternity to live for. I've got a hope to get up for. And I guarantee you, friend, if you turn your life over to him, he will give you peace like you've never known peace and joy like you've never known joy. And it doesn't matter where you are, where you come from. He's a God that loves you. But the battle is in between your ears and in your mind. And if thou canst but believe, all things are possible unto them that believe. Stand with me all over the house. Would you just bow your head for a moment? I really feel like God is talking to some people in this building this morning. Now, you came here with a mindset, I have nothing to live for. there's no way my life is ever going to change. Everything in my life is backwards from where it ought to be, and it's never going in another direction. But I want to tell you something this morning. God brought you here to let you know that if you could just change your thinking, to a God who renews and refreshes and works in our lives, that there is hope, a hope for peace that passes all understanding, a hope for joy. That same God that turned my life around nearly 40 years ago is still reaching to people right now and changing them and giving them hope, giving them peace, putting their lives back together. I believe God's speaking to somebody right now. Your life is pretty much separated and segmented and torn apart. God's saying to you, if you'll allow me, I begin to pull the pieces back together. I begin to turn you around and head you in the right direction. But you've got to let him have his way in your life. You've got to let him touch you this morning. All he asked was you open the door to your mind. Let the light of his gospel begin to shine into you. And the minute you turn yourself toward him, the dark lights of Satan will be turned out. The joy that's so real will start to flood your soul. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask God you'd reach down and touch, that you would move and minister today to us, that you would give us your peace, your power, your love. God, that we begin to look at things in a whole new way, a way that only you can help us see. Because, God, it is truly all in the way we think and in our mind. In Jesus' precious name.